Charles Parris mystery, Murder in the Title, starring Bill Nye as Charles.
Who'll be the next in line? Who'll be the next in line for heartbeat?
Across three robins!
When do we want it?
Now!
When Mothers Against Depravity discovered the local rep was intending to stage the radical shock fest Britannia, civil insurrection came to Rutland Spa.
I'm a married man.
Tony, our artistic director, was taking the brunt of the fury, and the strain was showing on his furrowed brow. Even his beard looked depressed.
If I could just get through.
Degenerate!
Now look, this play is a critically acclaimed piece of drama. Theatre is a living art form.
What do we want?
A Palmfrey Rutland!
Won an Edinburgh Fringe first, you know.
When do we want it?
Now!
Kirsty Warp loved it.
Coffee, Tony?
And a Prozac, if you've got one.
You've been egged again.
That's the third time this week.
The fuss over Britannia was just part of Tony's nightmare.
What a time to give up smoking.
The dull thriller we already had up and running was proving to be more accident-prone than a Sweeney Todd I did where the lead actor failed to tell us he had OCD.
How the bloody hell are we going to rehearse with this racket?
Of course, I didn't believe my near stabbing and another actor's hanging were mere accidents. Either something was afoot, or Rutland Spa was the only weapons-grade provincial rep.
I've never known a season like this.
Still, no such thing as bad publicity.
Even Mandelson couldn't spin this lot.
Have a ginger crinkle.
My wife says I've got to lose weight.
Stress will do that.
Oh, thanks, Charles. Very reassuring.
Can I have one before you eat the lot?
Oh, sorry. There was a stern touch of Nanny Knows Best about our stage manager, Phoebe. Not entirely unpleasing to men brought up on Mary Poppins.
We've got a visitor, Tony.
Who?
Elaine Spence.
Oh, that's all I need. I'm really living the dream today. And we need to have a word, Phoebs.
Fine. Oh, you've got egg on...
Yes, I know. Elaine! So what do we owe this honour?
Who's Elaine?
Chair of the board, council bigwig and all-round local worthy. Not a member of Tony's fan base.
Ah. Elaine stood ramrod straight in a two-piece suit, perky nose thrust skywards, presumably to compensate for her diminutive stature. She was born for committee meetings with the politician's air of unwavering self-belief.
People, before we start, Elaine would like to have a word.
A pint says we close before the weekend.
2 pints says you get fired first.
Ouch.
I'm not going to take up valuable rehearsal time, but I wanted to thank you in person for the work you're all doing and reassure you that the board are right behind you.
Mine's a lager.
Nuts with that.
Now, I won't pretend we haven't got enemies out there. Some more vocal than others. But the Regent Theatre's bigger than a few narrow-minded killjoys, and I can tell you this. Our artistic choices will not be dictated by single-issue pressure groups.
Poor Tony, look at his face.
He looks like he's bitten on a broken tooth.
He can't stand Sean, whereas Elaine thinks the sun shines out of his iPad.
Do you mean she and Sean are...
No. Well, I don't think so. But she backed him on the manager's job.
All I can say is keep working, keep focused, and the Regent will prevail.
It was all just pumping sunshine, but Elaine rallied the troops and we spent the afternoon rehearsing Britannia with renewed vigour.
We'll leave it for today, so you've got some downtime before tonight's show. Please learn your lines, no names.
I'll be word perfect.
Thank you, Charles. Good. Full run on stage tomorrow, 10 a.m.
Actors are always saying that a theatrical company is like being part of a family.
That is so bad.
Don't blame me, Chris. It's not my fault.
Well, it sucks.
In this case, a dysfunctional family fast-tracking onto a list at social services.
It's not my fault. If you've got a problem, take it up with Tony.
Are you having a laugh? Anything that boss is interested in is ruining my career.
Yeah, well, it's not all about you, so get over yourself.
This place is doing my head in. I'm out of here.
Good afternoon.
Oh, it so isn't.
What is it, Charles?
It's obviously a bad time.
Oh, sorry. It's just Tony's gone and wrote me into some outreach thing, which means Chris will have to cover for me, which means he can't go to the recording of his radio...
Which makes you public enemy number one.
Little Tit's got an ego the size of a planet. Sorry, what did you want?
It's not important. I just wondered if you knew any decent eateries around here.
Well, there's a 3-star Michelin place if you're prepared to take out a second mortgage.
I'm looking to rent. How about a gastropub?
I Around here, they're all gastric, and cooking's my relaxation, so I tend to do it for myself.
Me too, but I'm stuck in the B&B from hell.
If you fancy a no-frills nosh-up, my rates are reasonable. Just bring a bottle.
I might take you up on that sometime, but at the moment I need somewhere to feed my wife and her Italian lodger before Friday's show.
Are they in the business?
No.
Bring him for lunch?
I couldn't do that.
If it makes you feel better, you do the starter and I'll do the main.
Are you sure?
Yeah, on one condition.
What?
No shop talk.
It's a deal. Oh, any news on Ronnie?
Oh, he's off the critical list, but out of the show.
Do we know how it happened?
It looks like the rope and safety wire got out of tension.
It could have killed him.
I know. I can still hear that horrible choking noise.
So, was it a mechanical fault or human error?
Chris runs a safety check before every show.
Is that a good thing?
Well, he's a geek, but a meticulous geek. You don't think... No, forget it.
What?
You don't think Ronnie might have done it himself after that terrible review?
On-stage suicide is a bit extreme.
You're right. Mad idea.
I'm going to pay him a visit now if you want to come.
Oh, I would, but I've got to sort out more Tony chaos.
What now?
Boring money stuff.
I've never had enough money to be bored by it.
Sean's been going through the books and found loads of entries with no receipts. If I give you a tenner, would you get Ronnie something from me?
Providing it's not a tie.
Oh, bad taste, Charles.
Yeah, sorry. Ruglen General, please.
Old fare.
Well, I'm over 16.
Yeah, and the rest. You got your bus pass, have you, Grandad?
Oh.
Oh, go on then, just this once. Hold on tight inside!
Oh, Grandad. A bus driver just called me Grandad.
Having trouble with those fiddly new 5p coins.
It's not funny.
You know you're getting older and the Prime Minister's younger than you are.
I've got underwear older than the Prime Minister.
Don't I know it?
Ruglen's aging me in dog years. Next time you see me, I'll be in a cloth cap with trousers up to my nipples.
You sound hot.
Oh, that'll be a flush.
So, are we on for Friday?
Tickets on the door, and we're having lunch at a friend's flat.
That must be a female friend.
Not the way you mean. Phoebe's still raw from a bus stop.
Usually you're cute and move in.
A, she's years too young. B, she's off men. And C, she's actor intolerant.
Oh, we'll have loads to talk about.
Can't wait.
Anyway, we're really looking forward to it.
I didn't realise you and Fabio are now a we.
We're not. I'm not.
Has he got Mama Francesca ironing his shirts yet?
He irons better than me. But he does wear a shade of cornflower blue that matches his eyes.
That's why I go in for yellow with red stripes.
Next up, Ruglen General Hospital.
Hospital? What have you done, Charles?
Just visiting, but you almost sound like you care.
Well, you're getting on and I'm the closest you've got to a carer.
With carers like you, who needs enemas?
Just try not to pick up MRSA before we arrive.
Goodbye, Francis.
Ciao.
I tell you, Charles, I thought I was a goner.
Yeah.
Another few seconds and I'd have had it. As I was hanging there, I had the strangest feeling that I was in the audience, watching myself die.
Which was pretty much the Echo's review of Ronnie's performance, the difference being that the critics said the play made him wish he was dead.
The only positive thing to come out of it is that I now appreciate all the good things in my life.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm no Olivier, but I'm working. And when I think I nearly ended up an auditor...
Really?
That's the only thing I have in common with Michael Gambon.
He wasn't an auditor, was he?
He trained as an engineer. I trained at the London College of Accountancy.
So how'd you end up in this game?
Well, I was moonlighting, doing Amdram by night. But you know what it's like once you've caught the bug.
I made a note. Disinfect hands on way out.
I never put trained auditor on my spotlight form, but you never know when these skills are going to come in handy. Like Sean asking me to look at the books.
The theatre's books?
Yes.
It was a light bulb moment, admittedly dim as a 5-watt energy saver, but enough to illuminate a possible hypothesis about recent events. I needed to think, but that would have to wait.
Did you see my interview in the Echo? Yeah.
The piece was predictably cruel, still managing to mention the awfulness of the Messages murder and all the controversy surrounding the upcoming Britannia.
Frank Walby? Isn't he the critic that tore into us?
You can't bear grudges, not in our business. You've got to bury the hatchet and move on.
In other words, Ronnie had no self-respect and would do anything to see his name and face in the paper.
I want you so very much.
And I you. But first we must tell Gerald. It's the only decent thing to do.
Gerald?
Perhaps he's out.
I'll see if his coat's in the closet.
And bosh. That was me done till the curtain call. A large scotch, please.
Sure.
This is Man Chat, the adult chat line by men for men.
Why aren't you on stage?
I am on stage.
What?
You're a gift to wind up, Morris.
Why did you pick up?
Why did you ring?
I was expecting voicemail.
That's the logic of Alice in Wonderland.
One large scotch, Charlie.
You're in a pub. You promised not to booze during the show.
Gerald's dead.
So will you be.
I needed to think.
You mean you needed a drink? Damn lucky they didn't fire you last time.
I'll be okay as long as I'm back for the curtain call. Anyway, why did you ring, Morris?
Well, social network-wise, you're trending in Rugland Spa.
What?
One of my followers tweeted about a lynching at the Regent.
Followers? Why not just call them disciples and have done with it? The Prophet Morris.
Prophet or profit? I could raise my commission.
Oh, God.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, my son. Just tell me what happened last night, and were you responsible?
No one died, and it was nothing to do with me.
Yet once more you were there. The curse of Paris strikes again. You're a one-man theatre of blood. I just can't decide whether you're Vincent Price or Robert Morley.
While you're wasting my time, do something useful and tell me what you know about Tony Hegarty.
Solid director, reliable if unexciting, cut his teeth as an assistant at Chichester, then built a reputation for bringing shows in on time and budget.
Now, that's interesting.
Why so?
He's got a name for being slapdash with cash.
Odd. Why do you want to know all this?
Well, I come to the conclusion that the person who nearly stabbed me actually had a grudge against Tony and thought he was my understudy that night.
I don't want to rain on your deer stalker, Sherlock. But had you considered the probability that it was just an accident?
That knife came through the canvas with force and intent. But now, a new suspect has wandered on.
So who's in the frame, Gumshoe?
My main suspect was Chris, an ASM with comedy aspirations, who thinks Tony Hegarty's out to ruin his career.
He's your man.
You think?
Comedians are all paranoid backstabbers.
Except Chris has absolutely no reason to harm Ronnie.
Who's Ronnie?
The Lynchie.
Oh, delightful expression.
But who'd want Ronnie dead, I hear you ask?
No, you don't.
Where's the motive, you're wondering?
No, I'm not.
It turns out that Sean, the theatre manager, asked Ronnie to look over the theatre's books. But what if Tony got to hear about
it? Let me just stop you, Charles, and not just because I'm propping my eyelids open with matchsticks. When does the new show open?
There's a full run tomorrow.
And are you off the book?
Not exactly.
Then I suggest your time would be better spent in learning your bloody lines. Now, forgive me, but I've got an important appointment with an M&S fish pie and two episodes of The Wire.
Nicotine helps me think, so with time in hand, I went outside to emphysema corner.
Got a light, Squire?
Oh, yeah.
My vintage Zippo proved a challenge too far for the hunched figure, so I lit the fag for him.
It's probably one of those tricky ones where you've got to have the knack.
We both knew it wasn't, but we also recognised a brother in booze, a sort of Masonic handshake, and this guy's hands were shaking off the Richter scale.
I work all day, and I get half drunk at night.
Waking at four to soundless dark I stare.
Good God, a Larkin man in Rugland Spa.
The maestro of melancholy.
God bless him. Mm. Can I buy you a drink?
Another time. I'm officially working.
I know you. You're in that bloody awful play at the Regent.
Guilty as charged.
I'm afraid I gave you lot a bit of a drubbing in the Echo.
Oh, so you're the man with the poison pen.
It's a toxic laptop, but yes. Not going to hit me, are you? Burkoff went for me with a rolled-up Guardian.
My weapons are sarcasm and irony.
Oh, then we're evenly matched, Frank Walby.
Charles Paris, or Gerald, the body in the closet.
Well, I think I let you off lightly.
Compared to the playwright, the director, and poor old Ronnie.
Oh, the dangling man. I interviewed him after his accident. He didn't seem too aggrieved.
He's happy to be alive.
Ah, I suppose it's some consolation.
From his lack of conviction, I suspected Frank's life hadn't panned out quite as he'd hoped.
Do you do all the theatre reviews?
For my many and various sins. Do you believe in reincarnation?
In the early 70s, I had a Buddhist girlfriend, but my passion for the full English breakfast drove a wedge of animal fat between us.
Well, I must have done something truly wicked in a previous existence to end up theatre critic of the Rutland Echo.
You're not a native of these parts.
London by birth. Pre-Wapping, I had a spell on Fleet Street. Even gave Billington a run for his money back then.
What happened?
Life. You may have come across it.
Yeah, it gets us all in the end.
It certainly got me. It's all in my novel.
Oh, what's it called?
It's not finished. I just need another 6 months, maybe a year.
How long have you been writing it?
I started it in 89, give or take a decade.
I reckoned life would finish Frank before Frank finished his novel.
You were pretty savage about the Messenger's murder.
Unfairly.
Not in the A.A. Gill sense, but I was told the Echo accentuated the positive.
Sometimes you've got to be cruel to be kind.
Tough love.
Love's pushing it a bit. But it was pointed out to me that real criticism might shake the Regent out of its complacency, get them to raise their game.
Who pointed that out?
Sean Reynolds. Ask me, he's the best thing to happen to the Regent in years.
Bit of a gamble inviting a critic to slag off one of his shows.
He cares about the theatre. He wants to put the place on the cultural map, and he's not going to do that staging corny old thrillers. Have you got the time?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, it's...
Damn!
You gotta run, 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 take the dragon too.
I'm not a natural sprinter, but I did my best impression of Usain Bolt and was just in sight of the stage door alley when I spotted Tony and Sean in a face-off.
Who the hell do you think you are?
I'm the manager of this theatre, that's who.
Crouching behind some bins, I watched the two men eyeballing each other.
If you think you're getting away with this, you've got a surprise in store.
Do you mind keeping your voice down?
Don't tell me what to do!
Calm down.
You swan in here!
Dignity, Tony, dignity.
Don't talk to me about dignity!
This is neither the time nor the place.
I am a bloody good director.
No one's doubting your creative talent.
Yeah, right.
But I won't have you undermining me behind my
back.
I'm
not the one doing the undermining.
I'm not doing this out here. Come up to the office.
Sod off! I'm going home.
Tony. Tony!
Tony marched past me into the high street and Sean was just turning back into the stage door when cramp got the better of me.
Ah! Who's there?
It's just me, Charles.
What are you doing out here?
I've slipped up.
I think we better have a chat.
In the morning?
In my office, now.
About the curtain call.
I vouched for you when Tony wanted you fired.
I know.
If you mess up, I get it in the neck. And the guy is already at boiling point, so please don't add fuel to an already inflammatory situation. End of bollocking. Now, I need a drink. Whiskey?
Yeah, thanks.
With a bit of luck, the air will be clearer after the meeting.
Meeting?
There's going to be an extraordinary general meeting of the board to sort out these clashes.
Is it that bad?
Tony's had things his own way a long time and he doesn't like change. I can understand that.
It's always difficult when a new broom sweeps in.
Of course, but this place has got to adapt to survive. And let me tell you, the Regent won't be a casualty of this recession, not on my watch. Don't get me wrong, I'm not looking for conflict, but if Tony continues to undermine my position, I've got to defend myself.
Well, at least you've got Elaine on side.
She's not stuck in the past. She understands things have to change, but I'm having to make tough decisions daily.
Like asking Frank Walby to tear into the Messenger's murder?
I'll admit that wasn't one of my best ideas, but my motives were good.
You don't think it pushed Ronnie a bit too hard?
I don't follow.
Walby's review was a pretty personal attack. I'm thinking of what happened to Ronnie on stage.
That was an accident, wasn't it? The poor bloke could have been killed, Charles, if you know something.
It's just the timing was a bit odd, given what you did earlier that day.
What did I do?
Asking Ronnie to look over the books.
So what?
May I ask what you asked him to look for?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Okay. I'll say. I think you've discovered some kind of fiddle. And if Tony knew you'd invited Ronnie to look at the books, he may have had a reason to stop him.
Oh, there's no love lost between me and Tony, but that's a serious accusation.
Not accusation, speculation.
Well, unless you've got some pretty solid evidence, I Keep your speculations to yourself.
The next morning, we were on stage for a run of the cutting-edge state-of-the-nation play, Britannia. Mothers Against Depravity were out in full force again and determined to make their protest heard.
Do you want the offal now, Tony?
What offal?
Charles's offal.
Yes.
It was a scene of naked and gratuitous violence, but Tony was looking so stressed, I wasn't going to start questioning my motivation.
I put the mattress centre stage for the castration scene. Can we lose the dressing gown, Charles?
I think they're trying to get in.
Are all the doors locked?
No.
We'll go and check.
All right. Sorry to interrupt, Tony. I think we'd better move the rehearsal somewhere safer.
We've got to rehearse it here sometime.
Well, it's a health and safety thing.
You're just loving this, aren't you?
Well, I've got to consider the actor's safety.
I always consider the actor's safety.
All right.
That's it! The order piece of me, you bigoted provincial morons!
Look, Tony!
Come on, then! Come and get it!
Months of pressure finally exploded. Incandescent, Tony grabbed a chair and flailed at the protesters.
I've worked at Chichester! I've worked at the Almeida!
Put the chair down!
Sean's right, Tony!
I directed a semi-improv version of the Book of Revelation at the Nuffield Southampton! Nothing frightens me!
That's enough, Tony!
You're all Philistines!
This rehearsal is over!
Bloody Philistines!
I'm postponing the opening night and I want everybody out of my theatre now!
Give me the chair, Tony.
Maybe you should put some clothes on.
What? Right.
Tony was sent home on compassionate grounds and we performed the message's murder as if nothing had happened. Next day, Francis and Fabio turned up at Phoebe's for lunch.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Only half a glass, Charles?
You know I don't drink before a show.
Only during.
Oh, I like her.
How are you enjoying London, Fabio?
It's a city of extremes. Day and night, light and dark.
Got a pen? I want to write this down.
By day, the city is vital, full of life, commerce,
ask him
color.
To slow
but
down.
By night, I feel the ghosts of Dickens and Hogarth stalking
good
the
intro,
streets.
New paragraph.
Why do the British drink so much?
Yes, why do they, Charles?
We're still recovering from the Roman invasion. Shall I get the primi piatti? I've gone Italian in your honour.
I'm touched.
I'll bring it in.
Let me.
No, it's okay, Charles.
I was warned about British food, but since I've been here, I've had some of the best meals.
Things have changed.
Francis and I are old enough to remember rationing.
I'm not.
I'm very much looking forward to the play.
You do know it's only a thriller.
I love British thrillers. Graham Greene, Patrick Hamilton.
Jim Worrell's not in that league. The Message's murder is pretty traditional.
I once saw a French expressionist production of The Mousetrap using mime and movement.
Our production uses French windows and polyester costumes.
Sort of retro-ironic old-fashioned.
Sort of.
The British really know how to celebrate their history.
It's good to see a young man with a taste for old things, isn't it, Francis?
It's certainly nice to have someone in the house I can talk to.
And you cook.
I try.
In my ignorance, I thought Italian men relied on their mothers for that sort of thing.
Oh, for God's sake.
I live in Roma, and my mother's in Milano. Pasta doesn't travel well.
Here we are.
Sardines arrabbiata with homemade olive bread.
Sounds almost edible.
Thank you, Michael Winner.
Well, it looks great.
Tuck in, everyone.
More wine, Francis.
I love some.
Too hot.
How much chilli did you put in this?
A bit.
Charles.
Well, the recipe was metric and I'm still imperial, so I sort of winged it.
Give him some water.
Water makes it worse.
He's got a terrible colour.
It does clash with his shirt.
Charles!
Sorry.
Throat closing.
What have you done to
bread. Him? That's what they do in India. In 68, I did the magic bus to Kathmandu and they all...
No! Charles!
Sorry. Try some of my homemade olive bread, but look out for the... stones. Don't they use anaesthetic these days?
He's balanophobic.
Oh, right.
What? Fear of needles.
Oh, bummer.
They reckon he'll be in there a while and we've got to get over to the theatre.
You two go, I'll wait for Fabio.
Do you think you'll make the show?
It's been a pretty dramatic afternoon already.
I can't believe you did that.
Trust me, Phoebe, this is a stroll in the park with Charles.
Do you two mind? I am here.
And don't we know it? You'd better go.
Yeah, the last thing we need is to be late.
Phoebe drove me back to the theatre in her Mini, and despite my apologies, in tight-lipped silence.
I want you so very much.
And I you. But first, we must tell Gerald. It's the only decent thing to do.
I just wanted to get through the show and go to bed without incident.
Gerald?
Perhaps he's out.
I'll see if his coat's in the closet.
But you can't always get what you want.
Don't you dare go to the pub, Charles.
I'm going out front to see if Francis and Fabio made it, and then I'll watch the rest of the show from the back of the stalls. I climbed a backstage ladder to a little props room, on the far side of which was another door leading to front of house.
Oh, bloody hell, Tony, you nearly gave me a heart attack.
Crouched by the open door of a grandfather clock, he stood up suddenly, one hand behind his back.
Why are you creeping around up here?
Well, I could ask you the same thing. You're supposed to be at home, resting.
I can't rest when there are things to be done, and there's so much, always something.
He closed the door to the clock's mechanism in what he thought was a surreptitious manner, but he looked pale, jittery, guilty, a man on the edge.
Finished, are you? Gerald's dead, is he?
Dead and discovered.
Well, you could just go and change if you wanted.
Ooh, what about the curtain call?
Oh, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it might matter to you, which is fine, but...
It was then that the previously concealed hand came into view, and in it, a gun.
Have you seen anyone? Anyone?
A doctor.
What, you mean a shrink?
I know it's a terrible cliché, but it can help to talk, get stuff off your chest and whatnot.
Like a mental expectorant?
Kind of. Things that seem awful rarely are once you've spoken them out loud.
Well, everything's become a lot clearer recently.
Tell me that's a prop.
Hmm?
He looked down at the gun as if it were the first time he'd seen it.
Oh, it's a prop. An old service revolver should have been handed in during one of those gun amnesties.
Can I see it?
Hmm? Oh, not just now.
I just want to have a look.
Well, actually, I've got to go. See you around, Charles.
Tony went out through the front of house door and locked it behind him.
Tony! Tony!
I suddenly remembered that the door also led directly to Sean Reynolds' office.
Tony, open this door!
I could have gone back the way I came, then out through the alley and round to the front of the theatre, but it would have taken a good 5 minutes. And while I tried to figure out what to do, something... or someone came to an abrupt end. Who'll be the next in line?
Who'll be the next in line for a hard date? In Murder in the Title, Charles Paris is played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Fabio is Theo Cross, Phoebe, Claire Harry, Sean, Ian Batchelor, Tony, Sam Dale, Ronnie, Sean Baker, Frank, Tony Bell, Chris, Henry DeVas, Elaine, Christine Kavanagh, Protester, Sally Orrock, and the barmaid, Leah Brotherhead. Murder in the Title is written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director is Sally Evans.